Thanks. Okay, before we start, how are you guys feeling? Okay, it's a bit dark behind, or is it supposed to be like that? Okay. All right. So I'm here to bring God's word today, and I'm very privileged to have this opportunity to share with you all what has God been impressing upon my heart as I prepare today's sermon. And today's sermon is called Living. Oh, are you awake now? Oh, great, great. Thanks. All right, and today's sermon topic is called Living Life to the Full. What actually does that mean? And said it very often, but often misunderstood. So before we start, I am going to invite Charlotte to help me to read a passage of Scripture. Can we do that?
Okay.
Just go ahead.
Hello? Can you hear me? Okay. Our passage today is taken from John chapter 10, verse 7 to 18.
You can turn to your Bibles, electronic or not. You can turn to your Bibles and read along with Charlotte.
John chapter 10, verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Shall we pray? Dear God, we thank you for being our good shepherd, our Father who loves us, and you watch over us. And God, even as we come before you today, Father, may our hearts be open to you. May our hearts respond to you, Lord. Not as we respond on a normal Sunday, Father, but today we pray for a supernatural responding to you, O God. Father, I pray, God, that even as you speak to us in our hearts, may you convey the message that you want to say to us all this while. And Father, may our ears be opening, may our hearts be opening to receive from you. May you be obedient to all the mighty shepherd. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's indeed a privilege to bring God's word to you. We are continuing this sermon series on a hope for all, because this is the year of hope for St. Andrew's Cathedral. And so you will see many publications of this thing called the COH and what is hope. And so my question to you is, what is hope to you? Is it hoping that it won't rain so that we can go for lunch? Or is it hoping for something else? But in any case, the hope mentioned in the Bible is much, much different from the rest. We learned from Reverend Harley last week about the freedom from bondages, not bandages, bondages. Who remember this joke? Okay. All right, which leads me to my title today, Living Life to the Full. And Charlotte, thank you for reading a very, very familiar passage to 11:30 per se. We know that Reverend Harley has this burden for sheep that are not on his sheepfold, not in God's sheepfold. And so we heard it from John chapter 10 that Jesus longs for these sheep to come back to the church. Now, this is the key verse that I'm going to focus on today. Where's my clicker? Oh, Ah, yes. John chapter 10. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is ESV that Charlotte has read. The NIV says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The Message, one of my favorite translation of the Bible, it says, I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they have ever dreamed about. All right? So the key verse actually comes from the second part of a full verse. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, when we think of the word thief, who comes to mind? Satan is immediately answered as Satan. But the question that I ask you, is it really Satan that comes and steal, kill, and destroy? Is it only Satan? Many a times, Okay, sorry, it looked better in my slide. I think when you transfer over, it's not. All right. Often, while Satan is true that Satan is the father of lies, and he's the one that deceives everyone, Satan is not always the cause for every sinful deceit that grows in our hearts, in our human hearts, that is referred in this passage. So to better understand John chapter 10, we need to go through John chapter 9 and what actually happened in the passage of Scripture. Now, a man was born blind and was an outcast of society. He was a man who was resorted to begging because of his blindness. Because he can't see, he doesn't know what's going on, all he could do is stretch out his hand to beg. He was an outcast of the society. And when Jesus met with him, he saw this man and was filled with compassion and says, and heals him miraculously. You know what he does? He picks up sand on the ground and makes it into mud. So he spits on it and he puts it on the eyes of Jesus. This is one of the most amazing eyes of the man. I'm so sorry. Thank you. Eyes of the man. This is one of the most amazing miracles that Jesus had ever done. Why? Because he had saliva on it. Right? And I always spit on the soccer pitch when I miss a goal or something, right? But I cannot have enough spit to make mud, right? And it must have been a lot of spit to anoint the man's eyes. And the Bible tells us, he tells the man to go to a pool to wash it off. And it would seem that Jesus did not follow him to the pool. Jesus went on to minister to the many others who were looking for ministering. And so when he washed away the mud, his eyesight was restored. And he couldn't see Jesus anywhere. Or even if he did, he couldn't recognize that was the man. Now, this man ran back to his community. And in fullness of joy, he wanted to tell everyone what had happened. All right? The muddy anointing. Right? Most of them were astonished, and some of them recognized him as the man who used to beg on the streets. But very few acknowledged the miracle. In fact, they even said, maybe he just looks like that kind of man, that man, but he's not the real man. But he's trying to tell them, come on, Jesus has restored my eyesight, and he's given me dignity again. I don't have to beg. But from that moment on, a lot of people are like, no, I don't think so. We pause here. Have anyone told you a miracle and then you just say, it was a coincidence? Yeah, right? Hey, I got a scholarship. I think God really blessed me with this scholarship. I couldn't have got it. No lah, you worked really hard, right? Right? We do not acknowledge the power of God in the miracle. Now, the community was so a bit confused at this miracle, they sent him to the religious leaders. And the religious leaders, do you think they believed him? They're even worse than the community. The religious leaders said, you are in utter sin. you do not deserve to share anything. So this guy who couldn't see from birth now could see, and nobody accepted him. Even the leaders of the church casted him out. So he was out of the community, was saved by Jesus, given back dignity, and now was casted out again by the leaders. This is ridiculous. These bad shepherds of Israel were actually the thieves that came to steal and kill and destroy the new life and dignity Jesus had restored to the man upon his physical eyesight. They cursed him to be in utter sin and rejected him. The Bible says they casted him out of the synagogue. In other words, they casted him out of the church. In other words, they casted him back out of the community. So he was outside, came in, and went back out. Even though he had received one of the most amazing miracles on earth. This is opposite of the kingdom of God, the value of the kingdom of God. The value of the kingdom of God is always come. Come and see. Come and meet Jesus. But they were only concerned of how he was healed. And because they couldn't understand or recognize or come to terms with the healing, they casted him out again. But this is the amazing thing about our Savior Jesus. When he was casted out again, he was probably wondering, but this time with eyesight, lah, so he's probably finding a job or something, I don't know. But Jesus went to find him. Jesus went, stopped his ministry to everybody, and went to find this lost sheep. Verse 35 says, Jesus heard that he had been thrown, that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe the Son of Man? Front. You know this song that has a lot of controversy, this song? Oh, the overwhelming, never ending. You know that song? How many know the song? Put out your hand. Right? Y'all love the song, right? You download it on Spotify and stuff. It's controversial, right? The words and how they describe the character of God. But there's one part of the song that says, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, right? I don't deserve it. If Jesus leaves the 99, he's doing what? For fun, is it? Going for lunch? He leaves 99 to find the one. And Jesus shows in the Good Shepherd, in John chapter 9, that he leaves 99 to find that one lost sheep who was casted out of the community. So here we understand that Jesus not only physically restores his eyesight, he gives him dignity again. And even when the religious leaders cast him out, he finds him again and restores it back to him. What a savior. Amen? Right. So Jesus doesn't do the basic minimum. Oh, yeah, you want eyesight? Come. You want to speak again? You're mute? Come. You want to quit your addiction? Come. He gives over and above. Amen? Right? That's our Savior. But he leaves the 99 to find that one. And remember, he always finds the one. Even if you think that you are lost and how far away he goes out to find you. This man was damaged by his life circumstance. He was even damaged by the people, the so-called community, was found by Jesus, and Jesus rescued him. So now that we understand the background of John chapter 9, we go on to John chapter 10, which is the verse that we're speaking about today. John 10:10 says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So what does it mean to have life abundantly? Now, living life abundantly does not mean to have abundance in life, which many people often misinterpret, often preach about. Oh, if you are a Christian and you believe in God, you should be rich, or you should have a basic a car, or you have, should have a condo. I don't know. Abundance in life. But the reality in life, and we all know, is that having abundance in life does not bring abundant life. Sadly, in this modern world, Singaporeans, we are the most guilty of it. We are driven by materialism and consumerism, a desire to have more and more and more. Nothing is ever enough. And even though many times, the more we have, the more empty we feel, what do we do next? We want more, correct? Thinking that it will fill the emptiness. Nevertheless, it makes people have the drive to achieve more, even when it doesn't fulfill anything. The church today has also become one of consumeristic competition of which church can give you more. Churches today are forced against their value, 11:30 is not spared, to produce an even better and more attractive service, better songs, different preaching styles, in fear that people might leave the church and our income will go straight down. So the people decide whether they come to church today. And if you can't give me what I want in a church, I'll go to the next church opposite. Today, we fill our lives with so much consumerism that even God's holy house is not spared. I always remind the leaders that we cannot make a service that fits everyone. But we have to make a service that loves God because it is the house of a holy God. And then people will come. But I don't know how many of you today are one who's choosing this church because of the heritage that it brings, or because there's food after the service, or there is smiley faces or someone to say hello to you. That's important. That's all important. But it's not the most important in the foundation of the church. It has to be built on truth. So again, consumerism. It's funny how we fill our lives with so much things, and yet we feel so empty. We fill our churches with so much activities, and yet we know people who feel so lonely. There is a horrible gap of emptiness they were unable to tackle. I'm involved with a youth ministry, as some of you may know, or most of you may know. I'm a youth worker for a youth ministry that happens every Saturday at 2:30 to 4:30 up in the chapel. When I look at my youth every Saturday, I want to pray for them. But I just have to look at them. And God aches my heart for them. Because I see a lot of them struggle to match up with their studies. And they always tell me I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I cannot pass, I don't know if I'll pass. And so parents join in the process of filling up their schedule with tuition, assessments, ECA, CCA, is it CCA, right? And other activities. When they come to youth ministry and meet me on Saturday, they are so tired, exhausted, and worn out. They really don't have another ounce of energy to interact with anybody. And with more and more tuition added on to their schedule, when the exam time comes, I see them less and less. This is the struggle of a Singaporean youth today, not just in our church, but nationwide. And parents are not only not helping, they are adding on. I'm not a parent, so maybe I have no right to speak. But today, how are we discipling our children? Telling them what is important. Having a good job, you need to get this certain grade or go to this certain university overseas. It is worrisome because their capacity for God is slowly diminishing as they are doing this. And their temptation to materialism is opening up. There is no wonder many of my youth and even the youth in SG are feeling the emptiness and longing to feel it. So, addiction is rampant. Depression is rampant. Deep sorrow and helplessness is all over the church. And of course, suicide rates of youth have gone up in the past 3 years than in the past 20. But can God really give us abundance if He wants to? You all know this picture? Do you know what's this? Let me try and zoom it. Do you know what's this thing? Picture. Yeah, good, good. This was the kind of the exact size of the John chapter 2 miracle. Jesus' first miracle, even though He said, I'm not ready yet. But He was ready to help His mother out. This was about the size of the water that He told the servants to just follow whatever He asked for. And Jesus converted 6 of these jugs, amounting to almost 200 liters of the best choice wine. Think of a wine in your house right now. It's better than that. 200 liters. In this, I know that can God give abundance in life? Easy peasy. But many of us look at the wine and the gift rather than the giver. Many of us do not understand the power of the awesomeness of God. And so we look at the gift. Oh, wow, you're very blessed, huh? You're driving 2 Porsches. Look at the God who gave this man 2 Porsches. Rather than all the 2 Porsches and the how many semi-Ds, right? There's a problem with our eyesight. Oh, your daughter went to a Harvard. Oh, your daughter went, oh, I got the top 5% in NUS. Don't look at the top 5%. Look at the God who made her do this. Often our mind is consumed by materialism. Let's go back to the passage. So how can we respond looking at John chapter 10? In verse 7, Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. And again in verse 9, He says, I'm the door. If anyone enters through Me, he will be safe. Jesus meant that He was the only way to the Father and the only entry into the life, the abundant life. There's no other way. There's no sneaking back through the door or climbing over the fence or breaking the window. There's only one way to His fullness. It's entering through the door. I don't know if you are here for the first time or perhaps you have been longing to come through that door but have no opportunity. Maybe today might be your chance. If you haven't responded to God in this manner, just remember, Jesus is calling you through the door. This door is the only door that you can go through. The second point I want to make and how we can respond is follow the Good Shepherd to live in His security. Verse 9 says, if anyone enters by Me, he will be saved and he will go in to find pastures. Do you believe that God has everything planned out for you already? Everything planned out in His mighty plan and you are inside. Do you believe it? Or how many of you think that you must go and make your own plans? If you believe in the security of God, your life will look very different from someone who does not believe in the security of God. I want to share a personal testimony. Yes, I'm the good shepherd. And the shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus will always protect you. I want to share a personal testimony. This is my late father. He passed away almost 3 years ago. When I was in NS, and I was thinking to myself, I was very pressured by the Singapore system to get a job, go to university, you know, do well in life, buy a Ferrari. I don't know. That's just one of those things that I wanted to do. But deep inside, I knew that this even if I got a Ferrari, it wouldn't be satisfying. And my father and I were and my brother were in Old Trafford before his passing about five, six years ago. And my father was really loved me very much, right? And he wanted me to have a good path in life. So he looked at me and say, "You become like me, electrical engineer or an engineer of some sort, and you will never starve again." And I said to myself, "No way. I can do something else, right? No, only engineering." Now, I went to poly and I did engineering, and I sucked at it, all right? But, you know, I scraped by, and, you know, and when I got a poly diploma, people say, "Wow, you good, ah? You got..." Please, I know how I struggled through it. And I was in my last few days of NS, we go to Brunei. And then we were like, "Aiyah, can Siam or not Brunei?" Cannot. So I went to Brunei, and I had to bring my whole platoon with me. So I was a platoon sergeant then in the hills of Brunei. And they were all having a great time eating Maggi Mee on the top of a mountain. And because they just finished a very big capture objective, okay? But in my heart, I felt this emptiness suddenly. I don't know why. I was like, what am I going to do? 2 weeks from now, they're going to give me my pink IC. What am I going to do? Stare at the wall for 1 hour, 1 day, I don't know, 5 days. I didn't know what to do. I was really scared. But in the midst of the mountain, I went to a corner and I screamed. The men all couldn't find me, you know. I was at a very corner. It was so pitch black, you couldn't even see your hand in front of you. But I screamed out to God. And I said, "This time, God, I don't know what to do. You gotta help me." And then what happened? Nothing happened. I came back and then the men were all sleeping already, so I was like, "Okay, you're gonna go to sleep." 2 weeks later, the fateful day came, I received my pink IC. Everybody was full of joy. "Yeah, don't have to do already, NS is over," right? I don't know how many of you are from NS here, or you know that feeling of the pink IC. But I was like, "Can I do another year of NS, right? Because I don't know what to do." But my father called me and said, "Come, I pick you up." He said, "Hey, so you don't know what to do, right? I know, engineering. You should go to this, my company has a vacant spot, you know, and they're looking for people and there are people coming in. Why don't you join the interview also?" Yeah, I said, "No lah, Papa, come on. Yeah, just prepare your resume, okay? I'll pick you up." What do you think I did? Go for the interview. I didn't know what to do. Put on a tie, something like this. Went for the interview. I was sitting in front of the founder of this company, apparently. His name is Dr. Tan. Dr. Tan said, "You're looking very handsome, huh? Sit down. And then he said, "Pass me your resume." And then he goes through it. And then I had like spoken English, level 10, you know, oral distinction, New South Wales maths, credit. Pretty proud of it. I was the one, of the three who got credit, right? Swimming, silver. I didn't prepare a resume. I mean, I was just dumbing things inside. And of course, then after that, suddenly like, "Oh, you've completed national service." They quickly put it in. And then he said, "So, what is your interest?" Xiao liao, I say. "Interest, should I say engineering?" I'm not sure. But I said, "I like to play football. Is there a football pitch around?" Then he laughed. And then he said, "So, We have this big project LTA has given us, and we want to search all the roads of Singapore, and we want you to go into this project. You'll be one of the top supervisors." Supervisor? said, you know, we'll drive this machine and then they will check out the contents of the road, and if it's unserviceable, then you just submit to LTA, and LTA will come and do road works. No wonder there's so much road works in Singapore, right? And then causing that would be my job if I had taken it. I went into the interview feeling uncomfortable. But at the same time, it's not bad, lah. This guy is quite nice. He said, oh, come, Kenneth, wear a lab coat. Come, follow me down. He brought me down to this basement. And he said, wow, then this is lab. And then there was this, like, granite, marble. We are civil engineering. What is civil engineering? Don't know. Do you know this material? Looks familiar. I didn't know anything. And so he told me that, oh, we are here to make Singapore a better place. At that moment, I didn't know what to do. But this guy was so nice. And then after that, he said, so how much are you asking? I said, I'm a poly grad, maybe 1,007, 2,009. Oh, we'll start you with 2,600. Two, 2,600? Two, six. Feeling a bit yaya because I got silver for swimming. That's why I got 2,006. And at that point, I tell you, I was tempted. He said, so I get the HR guy to come and you just sign the form. That's it. You can start work on Monday. That was the most uncomfortable I felt. I don't know why. But God did not forget my prayer on the top of a pitch black mountain. I went, I said, Dr. Tan, just to stop you. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to be rude, but can you give me one day and I'll email you. I promise you, I'll come back to you. And then he says, What seems to be a problem? No, I just need some time to think about this. And I left the lab. Put on the lab coat or faster chow. I went down and my father said, so how? You got a job? Not quite. What do you mean? I told him to wait. I told him to wait. And I went back feeding, and I got an earful from my father because he knew I just let up a big opportunity. I said, no, I can still say yes, it's tomorrow. I always excuses only. I was in the car and I received a phone call. St. Andrew's Cathedral. Is Harley calling me? No. Reverend Harley calling me? No. It was the previous vicar. His name was Bishop Kwan, and then he was called Dean Kwan. And he said, hey, you already here? Want to have lunch? My father was going to bring me to a nice lunch since I got the job, but he was going to go to the coffee shop since I did not get the job quite yet. And I said, Dad, can you drop me at the MRT? Why? Where are you going? And I said, okay, I just need to go, okay? Just give me some time. Pop, I left, took MRT down, and I met Dean Kwan then. He looked at me, said, come, I buy you nasi padang. Got me ikan pari, sotong, and everything. It was really expensive. Usually the nasi padang is like $7, $8. He got me like a $12 one, okay? Ikan pari, okay? Don't play, all right. So he told me, he said, would you like to join a tribute program? I said, what's that? He said, 1 year you dedicate your first year to God when you're marketable, and then you see whether, you know, and then you go into the workplace, and then you maybe, you know, you'll be a better place to be. I say, 1 year? 1 year, like, long, eh? Then he said, I say, how much you're giving for allowance? About 600, 700. 600, 700? Then I blur everything out. I say, hey, you know, I just got a job. They're offering me 2,000 more than you. And I tell him, you know, now I have a future and I'm going to go to university. I want to save up and blah, 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 blah. And then Bishop Kwan just eat his food and then smile and look at me. You know what he told me? After I finished vomiting out everything, give up the small things in life for the bigger things in eternity. I cried, yeah, on my sotong. I couldn't believe his mouth. here I am worried about how am I going to survive and how am I going to please my father, be an engineer and all that. And here he said, give up the small things. What small things? Big things. I signed the form on the spot. Maybe still in tears. Today, I never look back. That was almost 7 years ago. I was a tributor, then after that, part-timer, then full-timer, and now youth worker. So it's like, you know, the church got me involved. But at the same time, I knew I wasn't saying yes to Dean Kwan. I was saying yes to a deeper sense in eternity. I tell you today, I lack nothing. When I received $700, I saved more money than I did when I had earning 1,001 in NS. I top up my EasyLink, still got money left. Today, I have more money, but I have more problems. But at that 1 year, when I gave it to God, I never lacked anything, I can tell you this. You know, bring me up for big... You know, people always bring up for lunch and stuff, right? You just follow them. Makan with them. Benefits of a church worker. But I save so much money, I can't believe it. More than I did in the previous 22 years of my life. What about you? Are you willing to live in the security of an almighty shepherd? That you know that it's not done by you, it's done by somebody bigger, better, more able than you. All right, last point I'm going to make. Take someone through the door. Pastor Harley's favorite verse. And I have other sheep, they are not in this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there'll be one flock, one shepherd. This service is not just for us, you know. We need to reach out to the people who really are broken, are lost. You have no time for God. Crushed, depressed, an outcast. What about you? Do you know anyone in your circle who you know are lost, broken, who need the touch of Jesus? My tuliao, people say. This is not the time to wait again. This is time to say, hey, would you like to come with me to church? Would you like to be touched by God? So we're having this thing called the COH. I don't know how many of you would know. It's happening on the 17th, 19th of May. Maybe I will let you watch a video, which might be better for you to understand of the great leaders in our Singapore to tell us a bit more about what Celebration of Hope is. Press again to play.
We as the church have been commissioned by Jesus Christ to reach the world. And we can share this great message of Jesus by inviting somebody to come to Celebration of Hope here.